Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Friends, happy Friday. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. It is the 11th of January. Welcome. I want to talk to you today about something you can do to equip your pastor for Sanctity of Life Sunday, which is coming up. It's the Sunday closest to the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which means it's a week from this Sunday. Now, we did a previous video on this Facebook page going into detail about how you can equip your church, your whole church, to be actively pro-life and things your pastor or other pastoral ministers might want to do to move in that direction for the sake of the unborn. But this commentary today will be focused just on one particular resource, which I did refer to in that longer video, that you may want to take advantage of. But we'll talk about that in just a second. First, as is our custom, I've written a book called Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day. Every day of the year, a little reflection and prayer, deepening your pro-life commitment by connecting some belief that we have in the church or some passage of scripture with our commitment to defend the unborn. So let's see what we have for today. Today's a quote from Pope St. John Paul II. In his encyclical, The Gospel of Life, number 99, he writes, "With humility and confidence," and this is addressed to those who've had abortions, "open your hearts to repentance. Your merciful Father awaits you, so he can give you his pardon and peace." Reflection. Every day around the world, men and women who have lost children to abortion gather for Rachel's Vineyard retreats. These provide an opportunity to face the wounds of abortion in a safe, affirming environment of prayer and the support of others who have been through the same experience. Let us pray. Lord, be with all those who are going through healing after abortion, and bring them quickly to your peace. Amen. Well, as I'm sure most of you know, I'm privileged to serve as the pastoral director of Rachel's Vineyard throughout the world. Rachel's Vineyard operates under the umbrella of our Priests for Life family of ministries. It is the world's largest ministry for healing after abortion. We have over 375 different sites in the United States and around the world where these retreats are held, close to 1,000 retreats every year, and more and more people coming to experience the mercy of God. It's a program based on the Word of God in Scripture, the power of the sacraments, and also the solid psychological trauma-related research on abortion done by Dr. Teresa Burke, the founder of Rachel's Vineyard, and by others with whom she collaborates. So rachelsvineyard.org, you can find out more and you can see the locations of the retreats nearest you or nearest to someone that you know that needs that help. So equipping your pastor for Sanctity of Life Sunday. Many churches in many denominations observe Sanctity of Life Sunday a week from this Sunday. So on Sunday, January 21st, which is the day before the Roe versus Wade. Wait a minute, I think I'm getting that wrong. The 21st is a Monday. It's Sunday the 20th. The day closest to the Roe v. Wade commemoration, which is January 22nd, and falls this year on a Tuesday, we have many churches who, maybe more than any other time of the year, or maybe in some cases it's the only time of the year, that they deal with the question of abortion. And I heard one comment recently by some pro-abort pastor saying that this topic should never be addressed in a Sunday sermon. And brothers and sisters, that is so absurd. You know, as if when we go into the church or we go into the pulpit, you know, we're going into some cocoon, you know, separated from the real problems and the real sins and the real temptations that the people sitting in the pews actually have, or the real wounds that they actually have. That is so absurd. Worshiping Christ on Sunday. Why are we in church on Sunday? Because of the victory of life. It's the resurrection. It's the day of the resurrection. This is why Christians gather on Sunday for church. I mean, we gather every day, and many of you who are Catholics go to daily Mass. But the point is, Sunday is the day that the whole community, in fact, is obliged to come together. Why? Because of the victory of life. We're celebrating the victory of life. And if we're not going to address from the pulpit how the Word of God applies to the realities of today and the real responsibilities of people today to stand with Christ, which means to stand with life and therefore to stand against whatever destroys it, well then, when we're going to church, we're just engaged in wishful thinking. Oh Lord, you know, bring about justice and bring about a better world and bring about your kingdom, and meanwhile not telling people what to do about it. Like Martin Luther King Jr. said, and his holiday is the day right after Sanctity of Life Sunday. He said, I want to see a relevant ministry. It's fine, he says, to talk about the new Jerusalem, but God's preacher has to talk about the new New York and the new Los Angeles and the new Memphis, Tennessee. Well, we've got to talk about the new United States of America, the new town or city or village, wherever you live, new in the sense of rejecting the old lies of violence, and that includes the lie of pro-choice, the lie of abortion. Well, how do we equip and encourage our pastors to preach about this? I just simply want to point you to this book, Proclaiming the Message of Life. This is a rather substantial book that I wrote, was published a couple of years ago, and talks about why, talks directly to the preachers of all denominations about why we need to talk about abortion, why we need to preach about the unborn and our duty to love and protect them. It has three sections. First, it talks about the rationale for preaching on abortion, gives the three elements of a pro-life sermon. I'll touch on what those are in just a moment. Talks about some scriptural and doctrinal starting points for speaking on abortion. What are some of the key scripture passages that speak to us? And it's not just a matter of, well, you know, we often hear Psalm 139, the Lord says, I formed you in the womb, you're wonderfully made, and speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, or John the Baptist leaping in the womb of Elizabeth. When we see these scripture passages that are related specifically to the unborn, those are helpful in illustrating the fact that the unborn truly are persons. They have a relationship with God. They even have a vocation. Scripture shows us all this and that they are God's handiwork. But what I do here is go beyond that and show you the biblical themes that illustrate and lead to a proclamation of the message of defending the unborn. The biblical themes, love, for example, that seeks out the weakest, runs to the help of the most vulnerable, provides a voice for the voiceless. The theme of love, the theme of justice, intervention for the helpless, the great events of Scripture, the Exodus in the Old Testament, the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Christ in the New Testament. These are acts of intervention by the God of justice to rescue the helpless. Doesn't that mean that we have to rescue the helpless today? And who's more helpless than the unborn? You see how it's the big biblical themes, not just the mention of the unborn, but the great biblical themes, love and justice and life, the victory of life over death. What does Scripture say about what God thinks? Does he like life or does he like death better? Which one does he like better? And Scripture's so clear. God did not make death. He does not rejoice in the destruction of the living. He hates the shedding of innocent blood. You know, friends, life and the dignity and sanctity of life and the duty to defend it is on every page of Scripture. Every page. Even the ones with those long names and the you can't pronounce and the litanies and the genealogy. Oh yes, you could take any page of Scripture and preach the gospel of life. because it's all written by the Lord of life. So what I do in this book is I look at biblical and also doctrinal starting points. The Eucharist, it's the sacrament of life. This is my body, Jesus says when he gives us the Eucharist. This is my body, pro-abortion people say when they're going to destroy the baby. It's obviously a spiritual battle. And in the Eucharist, we find this is my body in a way that gives life, not takes it. We talk about doctrinal connections with the Holy Spirit, with the Virgin Mary, all these various starting points, liturgical starting points. What does the season of Advent mean for our relationship with the unborn? Well, it's the season where we're thinking about Jesus as an unborn child himself, the unborn God, the divine embryo. There's so many connections. What does the Easter season have to do with speaking pro-life? Well, it's all about God's victory over death, isn't it? And on it goes. So that's part one of the book. When I talk about the three elements of a pro-life homily, brothers and sisters, it begins with the alternatives and then talks about the forgiveness and healing. You always start with those. There are alternatives to abortion, and we're ready to provide them. In other words, you want to start your message about abortion by showing that you're there to help. You're not pointing fingers of condemnation. You're extending hands of mercy and of help and of hope to lift people up out of their despair, make them realize they're not alone, help them and their babies. So you speak about the alternatives. You speak about the forgiveness. We don't reject those who have had abortions. We reject abortion, but not those who've had abortions. Rather, we welcome them with mercy and peace. And then once you've spoken about alternatives and once you've spoken about forgiveness, then you deal directly with the rights of the unborn and the fallacy of the so-called choice to kill them. So all of this is in part one of the book. Part two, common objections, obstacles, fears, and hesitations that clergy have to preaching about abortion. Go through a couple of dozen of them. What am I afraid of? Do I believe abortion is too complex to address in a homily? Do I have trouble relating abortion to Scripture? Am I afraid of the complaints that will come? Based on our working with clergy over the last three decades, we've put together these various fears and hesitations that hold many of them back from preaching on abortion. And this book answers in a clear but gentle way those objections, enables the preacher directly to read the answers to those objections, or enables you who read this book to talk to the clergy you know who might be hesitant about speaking on abortion. So that's the second part of the book. And then the bulk of the book takes the Sunday readings of the lectionary. Now, the lectionary is the book from which the readings are drawn that you hear at Mass. And if you're not Catholic, many other denominations use the same readings. It's called the Common Lectionary. So there are readings chosen for the Sunday, chosen in advance for the Sundays of the entire year. And in fact, it's a three-year cycle. So that every 3 years, in the course of those 3 years, you're going to hear different readings every Sunday. Once those 3 years are over, the cycle repeats itself. I've taken every set of readings for every Sunday of all 3 years of those cycles for the entire year, and for each one of them have put in this book a commentary on how the preacher can speak about abortion and the defense of the unborn from those readings. This is a resource that your pastor can use, your deacon, and that you can use as you follow the readings Sunday after Sunday and immerse yourself in the Word of God, and at the same time immerse yourself and recommit yourself to the cause of defending the weakest among us, the children in the womb. So, Sanctity of Life Sunday is coming. There is time for you to order this book and get it sent to you to give to your pastor in order to prepare for Sanctity of Life Sunday and, of course, for the Sundays throughout the year. ProclaimingTheMessageOfLife.com is the website. ProclaimingTheMessageOfLife.com is the website where you can order this book, and for yourself and also for your pastor or other church ministers. Let's prepare our churches for Sanctity of Life Sunday. Let's prepare ourselves as we near the anniversary of the most tragic decision the Supreme Court or any court has ever made, the attempt to legalize child killing. I say attempt because it's legal, but it's technically not legal because it's not moral. But brothers and sisters, it is indeed a policy that needs to be changed. Let's prepare ourselves for this commemoration, whether we're taking part in things like the March for Life or not. Let's prepare ourselves to do more, to speak up and protect the unborn. I'll be praying for you, for your pastor. Order the book and then let me know what happens. Let me know if you give it to him, what he says, if he uses it. That would be great to hear the feedback. So may you have a blessed day. I'll be back with you at 9 p.m. Eastern Time tonight with some more reflections and preparations for both the March for Life and Sanctity of Life Sunday and the days that are coming up. And meanwhile, check out priestforlife.org/marchforlife. priestforlife.org/marchforlife for the many events that we'll be leading and inviting you to for next week. Now may the Lord bless you and strengthen you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.